John Cole Scott of Closed-End Fund Advisors is here, and we're talking about how the market's holiday rally and hot start to 2023 is playing out in closed-end funds. Welcome to The Navigator. This is The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, the Navigator is going to point you in the right direction. And today, it brings us back in the direction of John Cole Scott, president at Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, which is online at cefadvisors.com. And well, when John is here, we typically talk about some of the firm's research. You can dig into that yourself at cefdata.com. John is also chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance, which you can learn about at aicalliance.org. John Cole Scott, it's great to have you back on The Navigator.
Always good to be here, Chuck.
Now, we were talking at the end of the year, but we were doing it before the fourth quarter wrapped up. And of course, we wound up seeing a January trifecta. A Santa Claus rally for the market, a good start to January, both in the first five trading days and the whole month. And closed-end funds had been particularly sensitive all throughout 2022 to every market move. Tell us how that's continued and what's setting up thus far this year.
Sure. And before we start into our how we view January, I just want to remind your audience, if they're not aware, our firm holds a quarterly research call. It's on our website. And you can download the 60 data slides for free without any registration to help you out, get perspective on where we ended the year. But for 2023, the average closed-end fund is up 12% year-to-date market price total return, and it's up 7% net asset value. That's a solid 5 discount narrowing for the universe, and that's basically double the average January effect that we usually see most years. It's also interesting to look back to the end of third quarter. You know, because December was tough, but not a bad quarter for the fourth quarter. Closing funds are up almost 20% since September 30th, and that's 5.5% discount narrowing. And so the January effect, as you mentioned, is definitely full in force. When we dig a little deeper, it's interesting because munis, a third of the universe, the discounts have narrowed less than 1% this year, because even though rates are higher, there's still a lot of concern for, I would say, the dividend cuts that have been pummeling that sector. Preferred, they've narrowed 4%, again, less duration, a little less cuts in that sector, but still some pain. Equity funds have only narrowed 2%, and taxable bond funds have narrowed 4.5%. And when we looked in the January data, 10% of the universe cut their distributions 10% or more. So we talked about all of the dividend cuts from 22. We said we didn't think they were done. They're not as large for many cases as during 22, but they're still significant.
If I'm a shareholder, the discount narrowing is good. That means that we're getting closer to net asset value and I'm making some extra returns. But if I'm a buyer, in other words, if I'm looking at funds to buy now, would I be more likely to say, I want to go towards muni funds or I want to go towards the equity funds where discounts did not narrow as much because that's where I'm still likely to find the bigger bargains?
Yeah, and we looked into where yields are and the fact that there were dividend cuts last year, last month. But right now, if we look at our index where it's the 7 most liquid funds in 15 groups, so a nice 100 fund equal weight litmus for the closed-end fund universe, the average discounts narrowed to 3.4%, leverage is blending to 25%, and we're showing a 9.2 yield. Well, go back a year ago, January 31st of 22, it was a tighter discount, a 1 discount. Leverage was a little less, you know, 23%. But we only had a 7.9 indicated yield. But now the yields are 16% higher, and we looked into the dividend growth rate for all 100 funds in that index. It's slightly positive. So as long as you are diversified, you are dollar neutral in yield, but the indicated yields are higher than a year ago because NAVs are much more beat up. Sometimes people think the best yields are from wide discounts. That's always true. But a medium discount and a beat-up NAV is also a large yield.
Let's talk about what sectors have outperformed this year. And as we get into February, if you think that outperformance can continue or if you're going the other way. Like, they've outperformed, but you want to not gravitate towards them now that they've gotten hot.
The average fund's up 12% year to date. Everyone should be happy with a 1 month return of that amount. But the REIT real estate sector is up 17%, but still down 10% on a 1 year total return basis. And convertibles are up 18%, and again, down 11% on a 1 year total return. So they had wonderful months, but they are the great feature of closed-end funds that the contrarian investor can find spots. And I would say that while we always would love to invest in the past when things were wider, those are still both very attractive sectors in our opinion for our thesis on the year. And then just for perspective, BDCs are up 11%, but only down 2% on a one-year basis. And we're in the middle of BDC earnings season, so we should see some cool movements for the better funds in that sector. And then remember, munis, they're up 6% year-to-date, but they're still down 13% on that one-year basis. And we're seeing some real fat discounts there. Like I said, remember, they didn't narrow as much as the others. And taxable bond funds are pretty similar, 11% up, but still down 8% on a one-year basis.
People hear you talking about moving things around. And at the end of the last year, there was tax loss harvesting going on. You were doing a lot of it. We talked about it on The Navigator. And it raises a question, because I know fans of The Navigator like closed-end funds. But how much should they like them? I mean, if you're buying stocks, you're not really diversified if you have 5 or 6 or 10 stocks. But if you have 5 or 6 or 10 mutual funds, you might be over-diversified depending on what you're trying to do. Closed-end funds more specialized than general-purpose mutual funds. But help people understand, I mean, how many closed-end funds do you want, and where do you start to go? This is getting a little bit hard to manage.
So at a basic level, we believe in being a fundamental investor first and then using the closed-end fundedness second. So asset allocation decisions, how much muni, how much energy, how much foreign, how much different part, high yield, senior loan. These are investment decisions where then you can go choose so many different structures. That always starts the conversation of our work for clients. And then we're picking the spot, the fund. And we've always talked about it's more than discounts and yield. It's manager analysis, it's dividend risk, and it's relative comparable and absolute discounts, not just a fat discount. And we look at real yields versus manipulated yields. Now, we'll buy wide discounts, fake yields, if they're good total return stories, not income stories. And we do find that many investors tend to have less than 10 funds because they like to really follow them and know them. Or investors seem to have 75, 80 plus funds because they're so worried about one bad decision. And our portfolios tend to be more 25 to 35 closed-end funds. We don't like to put less than 2% in a regular closed-end fund and small allocations to MLPs and BDCs because they're more volatile. But again, we can do that with higher numbers for two reasons. One is our software gives us granularity at the guts and the closed-end fundedness of the allocation. We don't know what's going to happen. And if we like different managers, we don't know which one's going to have a discount pop or widening, and we can react to that for our clients in a way we couldn't if we only had our 10 best funds.
Now, of course, we need to talk about building a portfolio. I don't think you ever come on without having a couple of fund ideas. So let's talk about what you're looking at right now. And is it new? Is like a new idea because the market's done so well in January? Or is it an old idea that's playing out and keeping going?
First, with all of those huge dividend cuts this month in munis and preferreds, I wanted to look in those sectors. And the first fund is CXE. It's the MFS High Income Muni Trust. But just for clarification, it's still 60% investment grade and like 25% non-rated bonds. So it's not a pure high yield muni. It's scoring a 12 discount, a 4.2 yield, 40 leverage. But the last 3 months, the NAV is up 14%. But like I said on the show a month ago, it's a 16 duration. And I'm comfortable with where rates currently stand, buying that fund at a fat discount. The preferred fund is NPFD. It's the Nuveen Variable Rate Preferred Income Fund. It cut its dividend 13% last month. It's sporting almost a 10 discount, a 6 yield, and a 12% three-month NAV total performance. What I like about it is they cut the yield possibly too much. The leverages of NAV yield is just a hair under 4%, and preferreds that are being put in the portfolio are generally over 4%. So this is a nice dividend growth story later in the cycle. We then went back to one of the same funds I liked a month ago, MEGI. It's the Mainstay CBRE Global Infrastructure Fund. It's still at a 14 discount. It's an 8.5 yield with a third leverage, ends up 17% on a 3-month NAV basis, but very attractive in the market. And it is currently in ownership from Saba, a well-known activist in the space. We then want to round it out with a senior loan fund. We like that sector right now. The loans are cheap. The discounts are cheap. That's a double discount in our experience. BGB is Blackstone's strategic credit fund. It's at a 10 and mid-change discount. It's a 9 yield with 36% leverage. In the last 3 months, it's done almost 6% NAV performance. And finally, you know, BDCs are different than closed-end funds, but we cover them actively. We have our UIT product. We still like TSLX that we talked about a month ago, but the current best, in our opinion, today, BDC, is Oaktree Specialty Lending. That's OCSL. It's around that asset value, but we find that very cheap for where the Oaktree can take the portfolio. It just had a reverse split at a merger, kind of corporate actions that I find confuse investors and have widened the discount. It currently has a 10 and mid-change yield, 49% leverage, and its NAV is up about 5% in the last 2 quarters. It's a great way to get illiquid private loans. And again, it's an example of a zero discount or premium, in my opinion, is a great cheap deal today.
John, really interesting. Thanks so much for joining me on The Navigator to talk about it. We'll do this again soon.
Always my pleasure. Thanks, Chuck.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. And yes, that's me, and you can learn all about my hour-long weekday podcast by going to moneylifeshow.com or by searching wherever you find great podcasts. To learn more about closed-end funds, interval funds, and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. They're on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, John Cole Scott, president of Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, and the chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance. The firm is online at cefadvisors.com, and you can dig into their data at cefdata.com. John's on Twitter at John Cole Scott. The Navigator podcast is available every Friday. Be sure not to miss that or any episode by following or subscribing to us on your favorite podcast app. We'll be back next week with more closed-end fund talk. Until then, happy investing, everybody.